Drawn by love. You know, our Father, through the Holy Spirit, draws in many ways, and there are many different kinds of love. By that I mean, sometimes He practices a little tough love, because if He loves you, He's also going to chastise you. You can count on it. He will never let you down in that respect, nor will He let you down in the love of blessings. So that's all up to you, okay? It's up to you which you receive. You're always accountable to the Heavenly Father. But it's important, because with that being called, and with the Father, the word, if you would, to draw, which He will drawing through love, is a word that also means to tug. He'll really tug at the very strings of your heart to touch you through the Holy Spirit. That's why we have that comforter, is to comfort you, to anoint you, to enable you. And how wonderful it is to be blessed with that. A Father that really cares. A Father that cares enough that if He sees you getting in trouble, He's going to straighten your case out. And that's good. That's real good. You know why He does that? Because He loves you. We're going to pick this up in John chapter 6, if you wish to turn there in your Bibles. Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000. He set them down in groups of 50, orderly, never doing anything mob-like. Got to be controlled, disciplined. And did Christ feed them? No. The disciples did. Christ gave them the food. But it was a miracle. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and He fed 5,000 and their families. That's a bunch of people. And that's a miracle. And many there saw that, and the words we're about to pick up follow that. Okay, where they had just finished that feeding. St. John chapter 6, verse 32. Let's pick it up there. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth the true bread from heaven. And our Father also brought that manna from heaven. Verse 33, For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And you know, many people have wrestled with that. We all came down from heaven, okay? We were all with God, our souls were, before you were born of woman. And certainly, but Christ was the only begotten. He was the true bread of life. In other words, now bear in mind, He just took those 5 loaves of barley bread, which is it's a poor man's bread, okay? Barley bread is. It's the first ripe grain, so forth. And He fed the multitude with that, being able to produce bread. Why? Because He was the bread of life, and it was all symbolic for what was about to come. The fact that He was the bread, that if you partake of Him, His body took the stripes, you get the healing. He provided salvation for everyone if you believe upon Him. That is what is necessary. But verse 34, Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. I mean, they had had that fish sandwich out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, they got a good thing going here. They didn't have to work for it. It was a miracle. And they didn't want the eternal life He's offering. They wanted a fish sandwich for their tummy right then. So you see how far they're missing the mark. Don't you miss it. Verse 35, And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. Well, who was He? Aside from being the only begotten, have you ever read St. John chapter 1, verse 14? What does it say there? It says there in that 14th verse that the Word became flesh and walked among us. He was the Word of God. And that Word of God is what sets us free. It's what gives us strength. It's the best advice. You don't need a $200 an hour counselor when you have the Word of God. And there He was walking with us, among us, bringing this Word, this bread that strengthens you in the spiritual sense. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. You've seen me take those two fish and those five loaves and feed 10,000 people. That's 5,000. And if there were only two in a family, it would be 10,000. Okay. So you saw that miracle. You don't believe. You don't really stop and think about that a moment. Can you believe that they wouldn't believe who he was after he performed that miracle in the middle of the desert? It's amazing. They didn't. Okay. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Those that do believe upon me and believe upon the Father, I'm going to hold them. I'm going to keep them. 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The will of God is very important to you, and don't you ever let somebody tell you any different. Many people would tell you, well, if you pray in the will of God, you're weak. Wrong. That is power. That is strength. For if you love your Father, you don't want anything that's not in his will. Okay. Period. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. God's election are being spoken of here, those that will stand against the false one. Father created even the false one, and he chooses those that have the love and respect for him to stand. Okay. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And so it is. Emphasis, yes. Truth, yes. And that's where you stand, you know? When you see your family and you know you're going to have them, not just in these flesh lives, but forever. And ever. What a wonderful time that's going to be without the hardships, and to have everything disciplined and in place, and to have our Father there with us. How precious that's going to be. You know the beautiful part about it? Those that are wicked are going to be out of here. They're gone. Okay. Never to cause trouble again. And they get what they deserve. Okay. Verse 41, and Jesus then, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They couldn't see it. I mean, here he performed that miracle. 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Question. How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Let me ask you a question. Do you believe everything you read in the Bible? You know, you can get in a heap of trouble doing that. If you think Joseph was Jesus' father, you're as far out in the field as the ones that asked that question. Because Joseph was not his father. Almighty God was. He was the only begotten son. And Father did have said, it was spoken of where? Way back in Isaiah chapter 7. What did it say there? A virgin shall conceive, will have a child, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which is to say God with us. And that's exactly who he was. Okay. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. You stop this bickering and wondering and listen to me. That's what he's saying. It's so simple to listen to the simplicity in which Christ taught instead of listening to the garble of man, okay, and his traditions that cloud the truth and muddy the way. Verse 44, no man, listen carefully, this is why we came here, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. There's our word, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Well, how does the Father draw him? Kilu, okay, in the Greek. It means, even if you would, to nudge. To nudge with what? The bread from heaven. What was that? He sent the manna to keep their flesh lives going in the desert. wilderness. But here he gives us something far more precious. It's the bread of life, to believe upon him, which is to say he was the word of God. He gives us this word, our advice, the will of God. And God hears those that are righteous. We just covered that in the next to the last chapter of the great book of Peter, 1 Peter. God hears those that are righteous. If you're not righteous, he doesn't hear you. Okay, you're wasting your time. If you can't do what's right and get your act together, he's not listening to you. And he says, also, my ears are open to those that do righteous, that do what's right. You don't do what's right, you can yabble all you want to all day long. Hey, he's got you turned off, friend. You don't amount to anything. But if you believe and if you partake of that bread, then God draws you, nudges you to come to him, to believe upon him, to know that he and he alone accomplished this, that you have the privilege and the opportunity to accept that love that draws, that pulls, that nudges at your very heart and brings you to him. Okay. 45. It is written in the prophets. Uh-oh, look at that. Long ago, it's already been stated. That, and they shall all be taught of God. What, the word, what taught? Word of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. You can't miss. Why would you want to? If you read of his beauty, of his love, of his blessings, why would you pass it by? Especially if it's for a bunch of ratchet jaws that always twist the truth and never have any answers. Why would you want that over Almighty God your Father? You wouldn't. Okay. Verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, and he hath seen the Father. In other words, if you've seen Christ, you're looking at him, because he's in the perfect image of Almighty God. Let us make man in our image, God stated, and Christ was. If you were to read the 14th chapter of this same book, Jesus would make the statement very clear, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 47, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You know, this everlasting is an interesting word when you break it all down. You know, you cannot use the word pre-existence and use this word at the same time, because it means you never cease existing. In other words, you were in the first earth age, you are here, and you're going to be in the future. It's a life from creation to the end, without beginning or ending, other than the beginning, and into infinity, forever and ever. Okay. But that's his promise, all right? Everlasting life. 48, I am that bread of life. The living word, the promises of God, that when you follow him, you have that guarantee. 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. I mean, many of them did. Many of them were not saved. But we know that Christ did, while he was crucified, while he was in the tomb, he went all the way back to the time of Noah and preached and gave them the same opportunity that you have to receive him in paradise, and many of them were freed, as we just covered it in the book, great book of Peter. The bread that gives life, that's him, okay? And he is that bread. But those in the wilderness, they did die there. That was manna, and it was great for the Father that he would give it to them. But naturally, they died. Just like those that partook of the fish sandwich he just gave them, okay? They're going to die too if they don't believe upon him. But then that through that bread comes eternal life. Verse 50, this is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Never to instantly go from this flesh body into your spiritual body and live eternal. Okay? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so it is that he gave that bread. He gave that life. Why? Because we're not perfect. He was. That perfect sacrifice. Well, why did he do that? Because he loves you. You know, he may not love what you do all the time, but he does love you. And that's why he did, whereby in taking the sin of the world upon himself, well, he could handle it. Then he paid the price that on repentance, I said on repentance, your sins are forgiven. And you have that fresh life and that love from him. Why? Because he does love you. But hey, even though he loves you, you mess up, you're going to have to kiss the naughty board because he's going to have it after you. Okay, just count on it. Okay, he does chastise those he loves. If he never chastises you, you're in a heap of hurt. You're either awful good or he's given up on you. Okay, that's not a good sign. Okay, so how he does love his children and how he loves to follow. Now, you know, when we're studying the Word that gives us eternal life, you want to take it very serious. What did it say back up, and we don't want to overread it. It said in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Where is that? You don't want to read over that. You want to know where it's written and what it says. So if you do, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. That's where he was quoting. Isaiah chapter 54 is a beautiful chapter. It's written to Christ's bride that remains barren, his wife, I should say, that remains barren. In other words, doesn't have anything to do with the false Messiah. Stays true to her husband, that is to say, to Almighty God through the Son. And though many will wed out of season with the false Messiah, she won't. Pick it up with verse 5. For thy Maker is thine husband. This is speaking spiritually now, okay? The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. That's your father. Man, isn't that something? You stop and think about him. That is your heavenly father, okay? The one. And he loves you. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. This goes to God's elect, that he had to turn his back on them, but he had to bring them into this world to accomplish standing against the false Messiah and taking some abuse from non-Christians even in this world today. So what does that hurt? Nothing. Okay, we don't take nothing off nobody. Okay. We take ground. We don't give it up. At the same time, we're very kind to those that wish kindness. Those that want trouble, boy, we got it. Our Father will fix it. Okay, knows how to handle it. Verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies, that love, will I gather thee. I'm going to nudge you. I'm going to bring you back in a little wrath. I was upset. I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. He's your what? Your Redeemer. He's the one that pays your debts of sin and redeems you. It's a guarantee. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn by the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. Do you know where this promise is written? It's Genesis chapter 9, verse 13. Okay. He said, I'm going to promise you I'll never flood the earth again with water. Satan's going to try it with his lies. But that's easy duck soup for us, okay? No step for a stepper, all right? But that's God's promise to you. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be moved, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And you know what he did back in that 13th verse and past? He gave you a rainbow. And he said, every time you see that rainbow, let it remind you of my promise that I'm never going to flood and I'll always love you. So when you see that rainbow, that's God painting that heaven with his love, drawing you, nudging you, assuring you, promising you that he keeps his word. Verse 11, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Revelation 21. I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. We got a good time coming, friends. But you know something? If you're really truly a Christ man today, you've got good times today. Well, how could you say that with all the trouble in the world? They brought it on themselves. And they are bringing it on themselves. And God is correcting them. But the big correction is coming. Stand by. It's coming. And you don't go against God's word and not pay the price. Okay? Verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught. This is why we came here. This is what he was taught. This is what Christ was talking about. All the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children if they believe and if they will absorb that. What? Eternal life. Victory over the enemy. In righteousness, in doing what's right, shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. That's a promise. Okay. But you got to use your head. Okay, you can't just join those that go with the traditions of men and say, "Well, I'll be a Christian. God's going to take care." Not if you're dumb. Okay, you got to use your head. You got to do what's right, or he'll leave you. He doesn't really leave you. You leave him when you don't do what's right. Okay, you're on your own. And I would, you know something? You talk about fear. If I was on my own in this world today, that would be frightening. But we're not. We have him. And we have the victory. So get ready and enjoy. Okay? 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. You can count on it. They're going down. Okay. They're not going to overcome. It's a failure going somewhere to happen. 16, listen carefully. This is what he said the children are going to learn. And it's important that you learn it if you want God's love to draw you into the very chamber of his heart and your heart. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I, that's emphatic, I have created the waster to destroy. No, he created Satan himself. He's on the throne and he controls Satan. He only lets him go so far. And you even have power over him. So what are you afraid of? You know, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Nothing. Nada. Verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. When they do what's right, it is of the Lord. Why? It comes from his word. That's what you're supposed to be taught. Not a bunch of gobbledygook or traditions of men or what happened to Aunt Mary when she went to the fall revival and blah, 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 and what happens here and there. And you know, but the word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, it delivers you. It keeps you out of the junk, and you become a child of God, receiving His blessings. Let me tell you something. To be without His blessings in this generation is a painful thing. But with His blessings, piece of cake. Okay? Piece of cake. Just watch it. Watch them get what they got coming to them. But what have you got coming to you? God says, if you do what's right, I hear your prayers. If you do what's right, my eyes see you. And my eyes see anybody that comes against you. No weapon will ever prosper that comes against you. But God, you know, God didn't raise a bunch of hothouse lilies, okay? You know, some people take this and go overboard with it. I don't have to do anything. He gave you a brain, use it, okay? It's called survival, okay? And protect your family. If you won't protect your family, you're worthless, okay? You know, you're a man that, this is in Timothy. A man that won't protect his family is worse than an infidel, okay? So this is important. It's really important. And it's no problem when you do it His way. Because you have His blessings and you inherit that. You know, He owns everything. Why would you want to cut yourself out of the inheritance? And be what? You know, if you follow the wicked, guess what they inherit? It's a burning fire. You don't want to go there. Because it's sure not a good place to go. It's quick, I'll say that. And it blots out. And we would never have to worry about you again, that's for sure. You'd be gone. Okay. So, there you have it. That's what he meant when he said, everyone will be taught if you study his word. Okay. That's what makes the difference. This very chapter, 54, was written to the barren. What does that mean? What does it mean, written to the barren? Those that did not give child, okay, to the Antichrist. They didn't wed out of season. They waited for the true husband. This is spoken in a spiritual sense. And we'll stand against that false one. And you don't have to worry. God let you know, hey, I even made him that's coming against you. So I'm certainly giving you power over him. You know how to cut it. You know how to handle it. Go with me to the great book of Hebrews. Chapter 10, back in the New Testament. Concerning that time, okay, I'm talking about the parable of fig tree. The fig tree generation. That's you. Okay. Verse 30, chapter 10, the great book of Hebrews. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's going to happen. Okay. You can count on it. Well, what does it mean to judge? Well, you get everything you got coming to you. Okay. If you've been doing his work, you have reward. If you've been helping Satan out, you're going to go with Satan, okay? It's payday, all right? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Whoa, you got that right. To me, as I said earlier, it would be a fearful thing to be in this world today without him. Okay? But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, after you learned the truth, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. And that fight continues. That's okay. Hey, if Christ in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, gives you power over all your enemies, if you'll use his name, then if you put up with it, that's your fault. Okay? Don't take nothing off nobody, but be nice. Okay? And always pray for them after you take them out. Okay? Understand what I mean by take them out. I mean put them down. Put them in their place. Okay? And I'm not talking about 3x6. Verse 33. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by the reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used, For ye have compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You know what where value is, true value. Cast not away therefore your confidence, that you which hath great recompense of reward. That earn your place, okay? That's your faith in him, to know he keeps his word. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's the inheritance. That's his blessings. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. It's going to happen. Don't let him shake you up on your first cruise here with things happening. Okay, we've got the victory, and it is a sure, you're playing a pat hand, if I may use that terminology. That means a winner. Okay, you hang on to it. Don't throw it in. You hang on to it. Now the just shall live by faith. They do what? They live by faith. But if any man draw back, now here's our word draw again, okay? This is the opposite of God drawing you to him. You draw back from God, okay? My soul shall have no pleasure in him. You're out. Don't you ever draw back after you've had the truth. Do you understand what we're talking about here, the unpardonable sin? As one of God's elect, if you draw back when you're delivered up before the false one, that's unpardonable. After you've been illuminated, that means that you've seen the light. You know the truth. That gets to be a pretty serious thing. Don't let it happen to you, because God will have no pleasure. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. That's what we're in the business of, God's elect. We don't draw back. We don't take a second seat to anyone. We do our Father's work that he came here, that he sent the Son to do, and you are a petitioner thereof. Do it. Okay. And don't just have faith alone. Put a little work with it. Okay. Don't draw back. Okay. Don't ever pull back. That's doubt. And if you happen to be, unfortunately, hung with a double mind, that's one that's a doubter and a worrier. Well, I'd like to believe that, but I need to worry a while. Why? Why do you need to worry a while? Well, just because it always works. No, it doesn't. It won't. If anything, it'll get in your way of rightful thinking. Okay? Don't let doubt. This word is true. You can count on it. 100%, as long as you check out the manuscripts, understand, then you can count on it all the way to the kingdom. So don't let man. Now, next book over, James. Go with me to the book of James. Just following this one, chapter 4. Verse 7, chapter 4 of the great book of James. This also is written to God's elect, okay? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, you've got to know that as a fact, okay? Well, I'm afraid of the devil. Why? Why would you be? He's afraid of you. Why would you fear him? Okay. In the power of the name, He must run from you. You can hurt him bad. You can hurt any evil spirit that comes near you bad. But you got to do it. You got to have the brass horns enough to get in there and hook him. Okay? In his name, don't you try it on your own. Okay? They'll run from you. You got nothing to worry about. Here's our word, 8. Draw nigh to God. You do your part, and he will draw nigh to you. He will nudge you. He will embrace you. He will encourage you. He will lead you. But you got to have faith in him to know he'll do it. Don't draw away from Him. Draw to Him in His love, and He will nudge your heart and make your heart spin and skip and rejoice that He loves you as He embraces you and blesses you and your family and those you come in contact with. Oh, that's not to say, you know, there'll be a little trouble, but look at you. You're a child of God. You can cut it. You know how to fix it. Then don't just shake and tremble. Fix it. Do something about it, okay? And God will intercede and bless, and it'll be fine, okay? So you draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Don't ever be double-minded to think this way, and then you hear somebody and you think that way, and that's thinking by traditions of men rather than the Word of God. God said it. That's it. Period. Okay. No double-minded stuff for you. You're a child of God. Act like it. Okay. Verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You can count on it. Do you understand that? You have to be humble before Him. You can't, you know, nobody knows everything. And God is not a respecter of persons. You're a champion of the people, all right? But He's got a lot of champions, those that believe, those that hear. So don't raise yourself up above where you are. Love Him and know without Him we're not too much of anything. But with Him we're everything. Okay. So never forsake Him and let Him draw you. Let Him draw your heart. Let Him tug at your mind with His truth and with His knowledge and lift you up. You'll never have a down time if you'll believe that and if you'll hang on to it. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. One more verse. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? You're not much, okay? We don't judge. This is why when people ask a question about a certain religion, I will always say, don't do it. We will not answer it. We will not judge anyone else. Why? Because God judges. We don't. Okay. Don't ever put yourself in that position. What it's saying there, who in the world do you think you are? Judging people. It won't fly, friend. You have to stop that if you want His blessings. In closing, we're going to go to one more place. It's the great book of Revelation. About chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 18, in closing, all right? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. See spiritually. What is that eye salve? The love of Christ. Is to be drawn to Him. Is to have your eyes open. We're not talking about your flesh eyes. We're talking about your spiritual eyes, that you can open them to the truth of the Word of God. And also, what is your raiment? As it's written in the 19th chapter of this same book, we're not going to turn there, chapter 19, verse 7 and 8, your righteous acts form the linen that makes your robe in heaven. Guess how much linen you have to robe yourself with if you have no righteous acts. We really don't want to see. You know, we really don't want to see. So get to it and have some righteous acts so that you can cover yourself. All right, that's what he's saying. And you know something? That's true. That is true. But, and you've heard people say, I just want to make it. I want you to do more than make it. We don't want to see you there in that condition. That's heaven. Okay. So make sure you have some righteous acts to form the clothing. Again, if you want to check that out, you'll find it written in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8, concerning his wife and bride, so to speak. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, and he will do it, and that's good. If I'm getting out of line where I'm misleading people, I want him to ring my bell, okay? I do not ever wish to mislead somebody by false teaching or anything of that nature. I want him to correct me. I'll kiss the paddle. Now, you want to do the same thing. You know, tough love is real love, all right? It's real easy for people to give you some mush, okay? A person can even be dishonest and give you a bunch of mush. And they can see you doing something that's about to get you in trouble. Oh, I don't want to get involved. You know, maybe I should warn them. Oh, no. I don't want to get involved. Then you don't love them. Love is to build up and to correct and to keep people out of trouble. You know, that's tough love. And unfortunately, if you don't have tough love, you got no discipline in your family. And I'll show you a family that is extremely unhappy. Discipline is a very important thing. And it's something that you want to always have in your family. Done rightfully, deservedly, and in the Word of God. And you'll never have any problems that amount to a whole lot that you can't, between you and the father and the family, you can't fix, okay? But God will punish you. Again, well, why would he? Because he loves you. He doesn't want you to get in trouble. He wants you to be an able servant of his. And that's good because it helps you keep things straight as an arrow, okay? What does he do? Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, I don't want you to picture Christ as out begging you at your door. Now, what it means is if you open the door to your mind, he's there. He brought the word. He paid an awesome price to be there. And the word is there for you to participate in, to absorb, to be blessed with. And I'll come in and I will sup with you. Well, what does he mean, sup? Give you the bread of life. It's the best supper you could ever have. Okay, eternal life. And the truth, as no other can ever give it to you. Invite him in. Be drawn. You draw him, he'll draw you. And sup with him. Partake of that bread. You'll never regret that you did it. To complete, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It is a blessed thing if one does have eyes to see and ears to hear. I'm speaking spiritual. To know this word, to see this truth, it is a blessing. We thank our Father for it and for the word. Let us go to his throne. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for calling us. Thank you, Father, for drawing us. We draw to you, you draw to us, Father. Bless this ministry. Bless each of these as they come in contact with the family, wherever it may be, Father. Let them be a blessing to carry forth that truth, that word. We ask it in Yahshua Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen.